Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, the fibro doctor, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me on tonight's first Tuesday of the month, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I think tonight you're going to find that this presentation is going to yield some real positive things in your fibromyalgia quest or your quest to overcome fibromyalgia. And so I want to get right to it tonight. The program is going to go about 20-25 minutes, maybe half an hour. But in the announcement I made on Facebook earlier this week, earlier last week, I asked a question. I said, if I could wave a magic wand, what would be the one thing that if I could make disappear, you would want to disappear with your fibromyalgia symptoms? And while there was all sorts of different symptoms that people said was the number one thing, including IBS and restless leg syndrome, headaches, depression, anxiety. But the number one and number two things were pain and fatigue. And tonight, what I'm going to share with you is going to allow you, if you will get this one thing right, after working with fibromyalgia patients for the last 17 years, I've learned a number of things, and the most important thing I've learned is if I don't help my patients get this right, nothing else really matters. And so it really doesn't matter whether you've got fatigue or you've got pain or you've got IBS or you've got anxiety or depression, migraine, headaches. It really doesn't matter. If you don't get this one thing corrected, you'll find that none of those symptoms will improve, at least not long-term. And having gone down the road of traditional medicine for most patients, they find out sometimes the hard way, but traditional medicine is a dead end for fibromyalgia. The reason why is because traditional medicine is using, of course, prescription medications. And while prescription medications can be helpful, they can even be life-saving, but prescription medications don't make you healthy. And the only way to reverse fibromyalgia is to get it. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. So with traditional medicine, many of the drugs that patients are taking actually are causing many of the symptoms that they have of fibromyalgia. Not only do they not really work, they're covering up symptoms and not looking at the causes. Now, having said that, again, the number one most important thing that individuals with fibromyalgia must do to have an opportunity to start reversing their symptoms. And by the way, if you'll get this one thing right, you'll find that anywhere from 50 to 80% of your symptoms will improve by 50% to 80%. That's how powerful this one thing is. And it's the one thing that when I'm asking patients, do you suffer from this? And they tell me, no, I'm not. I know they don't have fibromyalgia. And you probably have already guessed what this is. But the number one thing you must do to be able to have an opportunity to reverse the symptoms of fibromyalgia and to feel good again is you must get deep restorative sleep. I write at length about that in my book, and many of the presentations I give around North America are focused on this one thing. And the reason why is we know from the research that poor sleep has been linked to a variety of health problems, including anxiety, depression, fatigue, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic headaches, IBS. It's even linked to increased risk of heart attack, stroke, and even cancer. That's how important deep restorative sleep is. And what I find is that oftentimes patients will tell me that they've been on certain medications for a number of years and they only feel maybe 20% better or 30% better, but they don't feel better. And the number one thing I want to know is, well, how is your sleep? Do you have trouble falling asleep? Do you have trouble staying asleep? And if they answer that they have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, that their sleep is compromised, I know I've got a great opportunity of being able to help them reverse their symptoms of fibromyalgia. In some cases, as I said, anywhere from 50 to 80%. Because I know if I can get them going into deep delta wave restorative sleep, many of their symptoms are going to go away. Now, of course, everyone with fibromyalgia, true fibromyalgia, and my definition of true fibromyalgia is not just the diffuse aching muscle pain, but you have to have problems with your sleep, problems either going to sleep or problems staying asleep. Now, it doesn't, you know, if you're taking Ambien or a sleep medication, some kind of narcotic to help you get to sleep, that doesn't count. It's got to be that you have to be able to fall asleep on your own and stay asleep on your own. If you're taking one of those medications, but you're sleeping through the night, that's fine. Actually, it's not fine. We're going to talk about that. But true fibromyalgia, and this is the easy definition for me. It's when people come to me and they want to get the rubber stamp put on their forehead. Do I or don't I have fibromyalgia? They've been passed around from doctor to doctor. Typically, they've seen 12 different doctors in 7 years before they get the diagnosis. Now, fortunately, that's changing. What's not fortunate is that it's still a diagnosis that most doctors in this country, in fact, in the world, don't know what to do with once they get someone with it. And so they rely on a handful of prescription medications that have been deemed to be the drug for fibromyalgia. It's kind of like looking, oh, you got fibromyalgia. Let me look in the cookbook and see what's the recipe for treating fibromyalgia. Unfortunately, the recipe for treating fibromyalgia in traditional medicine is flawed because, again, the only way to reverse fibromyalgia is to get healthy. Drugs don't make you healthy. Well, so my definition, if you're struggling with your sleep, and this is going on for the last 3 months and getting worse, and you have diffuse achy muscle pain for the last 3 months, you either got fibromyalgia or you're heading that way pretty quickly. And so the first thing I do with my patients is I focus in, I laser in on this deep sleep. And the reason why is because I know that I can do everything else. I can correct their low thyroid function, which is often missed because there are stupid doctors out there who don't know what blood test to run or don't know how to interpret the blood test, or they're just following the herd. They have the herd mentality, and they can't think outside the box, and so they're not helping anybody with their recommendations, which are often, oh, let's just watch it and let's see how you do. But if I don't get this deep sleep right, none of the things I do help. And so the first thing we want to talk about again is this sleep. And the reason why sleep, this deep restorative sleep, is so important is that when you don't get deep restorative sleep, certain chemicals are produced in your body that prevent you from feeling good. I mean, number one, when you don't get a good night's sleep, you're fatigued the next day, right? So there's a big part of fatigue. But you may not know that. Part of your fatigue is certainly that you're not getting that deep sleep, so you don't feel rested the next night. But the other part of it is that when you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you start to compromise your thyroid. And your thyroid is your gland that regulates your metabolism, your cellular energy, your overall energy. So when you're not getting enough sleep, you start getting a low thyroid function, may have hypothyroid, low thyroid function. Or what I see a lot is that patients start to get a condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where the body erroneously starts to attack the thyroid gland. And now, if you don't run the right test, you won't see it. The patients will start having all the symptoms of low thyroid: fatigue, depression, anxiety, high cholesterol, cold hands, cold feet, tingling in their hands and feet, brain fog, low libido, dry skin, constipation. All those things are associated with low thyroid. But a lot of times what initiates it is this poor sleep. The other thing that happens is when you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you start increasing a substance, a hormone called substance P. And substance P, when it's elevated, it actually lowers your pain threshold, which means that pain is more magnified in you than it should be. Now, that explains why you might get up in the morning and put your feet on the ground and you have pain in your feet. I mean, what? I mean, isn't that weird? I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that way, right? Or it explains why when your spouse gives you a hug, you almost just fall apart. Or even wearing a tight shirt or a blouse can bring on this pain sensation. The reason why, again, is because this hormone, substance P, becomes elevated. And so pain is magnified. A little goes a long way. And the longer you have fibromyalgia, the worse that gets. The higher this substance P elevates, and you find that you now not only have pain in your upper back, but now you have between your shoulder blades, and you have it, you know, both your knees and your ankles and your elbows, and now it's in your feet. So it starts to become all over to the point where you get so sensitive you can't even put the covers over you at bed at night. So that's what this whole substance P is about. Now, the other thing that happens is when you go into deep restorative sleep, I mean, the purpose of that is, you know, God's really smart. He allowed us to be able to do what we want to do pretty much all day, you know, 16 hours a day. But at some point, we've got to rest this vessel, this body that we inhabit. And when you go into that deep sleep, you get 8 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, whatever it is, that's the time the body is repairing itself. If you're not going into that deep sleep, the body never has a chance to repair itself. So you have cellular damage, you have free radical production, you have inflammation, your CRP levels go up, your hemoglobin A1C levels and glucose levels go up because your body's not repairing itself. I mean, when you go lay down and your legs start twitching in the night and you get this thing called restless leg syndrome, what is that about? Don't you think that's strange? I mean, you know, one of the things I encourage our patients to do, more so the doctors that I train around North America, is think like a detective. I mean, if your legs are twitching at night, I mean, what causes that? I mean, there's got to be a reason for that. And typically in fibromyalgia, what it is, you're so exhausted because you hadn't slept that when you go and lay down, your muscles are going into spasm because they're not being repaired at night. They're just totally exhausted. And so that when you lay down, they're twitching and moving all over the place, mainly because you haven't been making deposits into your stress coping savings account to allow you to deal with stress. One of the things you quickly get deficient in when you're not going into deep restorative sleep is one of your main stress coping chemicals. It's a mineral called magnesium. You've heard a lot about it. I mean, anybody that writes about fibromyalgia, anybody that reads about fibromyalgia, anything about integrative medicine or natural alternatives for fibromyalgia, one of the first things you'll see is magnesium. And the main reason is magnesium is in 300 different bodily processes. When it becomes low, you start having more achy muscle pain, mitral valve prolapse, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression, constipation. Is it fatigue? Does that sound like some of the symptoms you may be dealing with? Absolutely it does. So magnesium, the more stress you're under, the more magnesium you have to use up. It's in the Krebs cycle, the energy cycle. And that's the vicious cycle that people get in with fibromyalgia is, number one, they're not going into this deep sleep, so they wake up the next day exhausted. And because they're exhausted the next day, they have exhausted their stress coping chemicals, so they don't have the chemicals they need to allow them to deal with stress. The more stress they get under, the more flare-ups they have. The more stress they get under, the more achiness, the pain, fatigue, depression, anxiety, irritable bowel. All those things start to show up because they don't have the tools to deal with the stress. The other thing that happens is, because you're not getting that good night's rest, is the next day when you're tired, because you're not able to handle the stress, you then start to deplete your stress-coping gland called the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands allow us to be able to have resiliency and stamina to stress. Without the adrenal glands working at optimal levels, what you find is you have ups and downs of fibromyalgia. If you overdo it, the next day you pay for it. And that's because your stress-coping hormones like cortisol, DHEA, norepinephrine, and others that are made in the adrenal glands, when they become deficient, you find that you just cannot handle stimulation. Bright lights, crowds, noise, oftentimes even just mental things. So you have to take an early retirement or disability because you just can't keep up. You can't handle any kind of stress or stressor. When you don't go into deep restorative sleep, you also don't make a hormone called growth hormone, human growth hormone. Now, human growth hormone, its job is to repair damaged muscle. And when you don't make that human growth hormone, then what happens is you start getting more abdominal fats, you start getting fat all over, more adipose tissue is deposited, more fat cells are seen, and the muscles are not being repaired, so you start having more and more injuries to your muscles, or more just muscle pains. You get build up of things like lactic acid and other things that show up because you're not repairing those muscles because you're deficient in HGH. Now, another thing that happens is you become deficient in another hormone called, as I mentioned earlier, DHEA. And because you get low in DHEA, then you start having problems with, a lot of times, mood disorders, anxiety and depression. You find that you really have little, if any, resiliency to stress. So if you get a stressful phone call at 7 o'clock at night, and you find, you know that night you're not going to sleep. You really have lost the ability to turn down the stress. So stress is really amplified in such a way that really just takes it out of you. You also deplete serotonin, and serotonin is the happy hormone. If you're not getting that deep restorative sleep, you're not going to have the happy hormones like serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine. Those chemicals, those brain chemicals, allow us to have mental energy and even moods or happy moods, and they're also really potent pain blockers. But when you don't go into deep restorative sleep, your body can't make those hormones. And it's kind of this vicious cycle. It all goes together because when you're low in thyroid, your body can't make and hang on to serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine. When you don't have ideal levels of serotonin, then it's hard for you to make optimal levels of your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. When you're low in cortisol, then which is your stress hormone, your circadian rhythm or your sleep-wake cycle gets out of whack, so that oftentimes making that serotonin and melatonin at bedtime. So it all goes together, and that's the fallacy of working who wants to treat one little segment of you and think that by getting you on one supplement or one drug that they're going to cure your fibromyalgia. It just isn't going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to treat the entire person, and you have to treat the causes, not the symptoms. If you just treat the symptoms, you're going to find that that may yield some results short-term. But long-term, it fails to do much because typically the drugs quit working, and every drug has a potential to cause a side effect. And let's face it, people with fibromyalgia, they're special. I mean, they're different. They're kind of weird, right? I mean, for one fibromyalgia patient, they have things they take Benadryl instead of putting them to sleep, it wakes them up. Or they have an allergy that every time they eat, peanuts or peanut butter, the tongue goes numb. And, I mean, all these weird things show up in fibromyalgia patients because really all fibromyalgia is a breakdown of the body. The body can't regulate itself. And a big part of that is, taking the stress off the stress-regulating system, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenals, HPA axis that I talk about in my book. And the first place that has to start, or you have to start to correct that, is this deep restorative sleep. Now, many of you, when I talk to you, you'll tell me, oh, gosh, I'm just, I'm so tired, I can't even go to sleep at night. Now, the first time I heard that, probably 15, 16 years ago, I thought, this person's a loony. I mean, when I'm that tired, I go to bed and I sleep. But you know what? I realize now, after doing this for so long, exactly what's happening. They're so exhausted when they go lay down, they can't sleep. And typically what happens is they've got their days and nights mixed up. Now, does this ever happen to you? You wake up exhausted, you go all day, you're just wiped out. But then somewhere around 7, 8, 9 o'clock, when you should be winding down, you start to wake up. You catch your second wind. Next thing you know, you're cleaning the house, you're putting the dishes up, you're starting the PTA project or whatever it is, and then it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before you get in bed. And this happens over and over again, and you think, golly, I should be able to go to bed. It's 10 o'clock, and I tell my patients 11 p.m. is the witching hour. You should be in bed by 11 p.m., no later, because that's when your melatonin level starts to be at its highest. But oftentimes people will share with me that they get their second wind and there's no way they can go to bed. They lay down and they've got all this extra energy that they've not had, all day. Now, sometimes that's a conditional thing. Sometimes that happens oftentimes with females because, it's the only time they've got to themselves. Maybe they've got a household of kids like I do, and, by the time they get everybody fed and their bath and homework done and everyone's in bed, and the first time that it's quiet is 9:30, 10, 11 o'clock, and next thing you know, it's your quiet time. But you spend it maybe trying to get caught up on housework or work that you are behind in your office job, whatever it is. So you can do that. You can set yourself up and sabotage yourself. But it can also be something to where you've disrupted your circadian rhythm. And what your circadian rhythm is, your sleep-wake cycle. What should happen is in the morning when you wake up, your cortisol level should be at its highest. Now, that's your stress coping chemical. Now, if cortisol gets too high, it can make you anxious and overstimulated. But your cortisol level should be at its highest in the morning. For just about everyone on this call or anybody that's going to listen to this, they're going to find that their cortisol level is very low. If you get it tested, and I test all my patients with a saliva test kit, so we can look at four samples. That's really the only way to genuinely do it and get something that's meaningful to work with. But oftentimes, what you're going to find out is you wake up in the morning with no appetite, and you skip breakfast. And the reason why you do that is a way to self-medicate yourself, because cortisol should be at its highest in the morning. For you, you wake up and your cortisol level may be at its highest that it's going to be all day, but it's still really low. But when you fast, it keeps your cortisol level up. That's why people, when they fast, they typically feel better because they're fasting. They've got more reserve energy, and also their cortisol level goes up. So the next thing that then mid-afternoon, 11 to 1 p.m., 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., your cortisol level should drop down by, two-thirds. I mean, it should go drastically down. And then by 5 p.m., it should be down even further. So by the time you go to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock p.m., your cortisol level should be really, really low. Now, at the same time, what's happening is the sun goes down, that stimulates the pineal gland in your brain to start releasing melatonin. So as it gets dark, your melatonin levels go up. Now, one of the things you want to do to help your natural sleep hormone to boost itself up is to make sure two or three hours before bedtime you start turning down the lights. You want to, you want to turn down the lamps, the overhead lights. You certainly don't want to be in bed watching TV, because that light, there's studies now that show that even a bright light that you have in a bathroom, any kind of light that's giving off something you can see, that it's going to suppress your melatonin level. Say, and another thing for you to realize, too, is that AC outlets, AC currents, sound machines, overhead fans, computer monitors, all those things, electrical and magnetic fields, as well as just AC power currents, those are going to depress your melatonin levels. Electric blankets. All those things deplete melatonin. And by the way, guess what else depletes your natural sleep hormone? Many of the drugs that you're probably taking, unless you're working with me, and then we get you off those things. But non-steroidal anti-inflammatories deplete your melatonin level. Beta blockers, a lot of the high blood pressure medications deplete your natural sleep hormone. Tricyclic serotonin reuptake and serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor antidepressants, those deplete your serotonin level. Benzodiazepines like Xanax, Ativan, Valium, all those deplete your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. Now, there's a multitude of drugs that patients are taking that actually cause their natural sleep hormone to become compromised, and they struggle with their sleep. Now the question is, if I don't take my Ambien, I can't sleep. Well, I realize that, and I would never tell you to come off your Ambien, but you don't have an Ambien deficiency, right? I mean, what's here's the Sherlock Holmes moment. I mean, Watson, what's causing you to not sleep? Well, it's not because you don't have Ambien. It's because either you don't have enough melatonin, you could be low in serotonin, which helps to make melatonin. You could be getting your days and nights mixed up to where you start to go to bed and your cortisol level is going up instead of going down. So there's different reasons for it. It could be that you have a lot of anxiety and you can't turn your mind off. But, the drug is not the answer, because here's why. If you look at the potential side effects of Ambien, I mean, just, go online, look them up tonight. That's your homework if you're taking Ambien or any of these drugs I mentioned. You need to be your own best health advocate. You need to know what you're taking. If you're taking a prescription medication and you don't really know what it is or what it's for or the potential side effects, that's one first place you need to start, because many of the drugs that you're taking are contributing to your symptoms, and you don't even realize it. Ambien. Here's a potential side effect for Ambien. Now, you know the common one, which is poor memory and fibro fog, where you just can't think very straight. And, you know, I mean, that's really common with Ambien. But what you may not realize, it causes diffuse achy muscle pain, flu-like achy pain, fatigue, depression, anxiety. I mean, what does that sound like to you? It sounds like fibromyalgia to me, right? So is it the Ambien that's causing some of this diffuse achy muscle pain and fibro fog, or is it the fibro? Well, heck, you don't know until you wean off the Ambien. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go off your Ambien because it's the right way and the wrong way to do things. But there's only really five prescription drugs out there that are effective in getting someone in deep restorative sleep. And all five of these drugs have potential side effects that, you know, are quite alarming. if you look at the original go-to sleep drug, it was a tricyclic antidepressant called Elavil. But Elavil, this tricyclic antidepressant, which is very sedating, and it can work, and it does get you into deep sleep, but it's notorious for causing fibro fog, early morning, late morning hangover. You feel just washed out, just really feel bad. Increases your risk of stroke, not a good one, right? fatigue, and then the big one, Elavil, that people, you know, just really can't stand, is weight gain. I mean, it's notorious for causing quite a bit of weight gain. The next one is Flexeril, which is a muscle relaxer, but chemically, if you look at it chemically, and Flexeril is very similar to Elavil, but the number one side effect of Flexeril is it causes depression, fatigue, hangover, fibro fog, and then you got Trazodone, which is an old tricyclic antidepressant, which it can cause Parkinson-like symptoms, which are, you know, the shakes, and you certainly don't want that. Fatigue, drowsiness, and muscle stiffness, and then Lunesta, which is very similar to Ambien. You get all the potential side effects of Ambien, anxiety, dizziness, fatigue, hangover, memory, hallucinations, fibro fog. But the other thing you get with Lunesta is that you get this metallic taste, which is no fun. Now, there's other sleep medications out there as well that don't put you in deep restorative sleep, including Klonopin, Xanax, Valium. I mean, any of the benzodiazepines, they knock you out, but you're not going into deep restorative sleep. And so you want to look at what are the ways that I can find out, number one, what's contributing to my poor sleep, and how can I correct that, whether that's changes in your